up and say, I belong to Him. What an exciting time to stand up and say, right before the Lord comes back, and just say, hey, Jesus is the answer. What a great opportunity we have to be able to stand up in this world and say, even though you're hunting answers and everything else in this on the planet, we can tell you who the answer is, and His name is Jesus. This morning, I'm going to preach to you about the first part of our series here in the next few weeks. And tonight, this morning, I'm going to preach to you on the subject of the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but I'll show you where that word come from. And I want you to keep your Bibles open. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here in just a minute, we're going to read. Now, before we do, what you see on this chart here is a simple, basic chart about the years of human history. There is no recorded history past this time here of human beings in the Bible or even in secular. We'll get into all that stuff later on another time. We're going to use this chart here in another message or two here in the next couple of weeks. But what this is, it shows by the thousand-day theory, bore out by Scripture. And I'm not going to take time to comment on all this morning, but I am just going to briefly show you where we are. And, of course, where we are is right here on this clock. We are at the very end of what this chart calls the sixth day. Now, here's when God made the world. And when God created the earth, He created. And on the seventh day, He rests. God is a great mathematician. That means God does things by numbers. If you'll check that Bible out, everything God does, He uses a number system. The number seven in the Bible represents completion. No doubt about it. All different numbers in the Bible represent different things. Like, one would represent God Himself. Two, division. Three, the Trinity. Four would represent the world. On and on and on. Some of them you're not too sure about. But there's no doubt about the spiritual meaning of the number seven. It is completion. The number eight means new beginning. Eight starts all over again. If you look at your calendar, you've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's completion of a week. Then Sunday is the same as this Sunday. This Sunday and this Sunday is the same. Starts all over again. Eight. So you have 7 days, and then eight starts all over the first one. Just like on the piano over here, you got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. That's it. Seven notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. That's it. All the songs in the world is made out of them seven notes. If you go up one more, you got do. And that do is the same as that do. Do, do, same thing. So you got, that's just an octave up. The first one, eighth one is an octave up from the first one. New beginning. Let me tell you something. When God drowned the world out with a flood right in here, right before the time of Abraham, when God drowned the world out with a flood, somebody tell me, how many people was in the ark to start the world all over again? Eight. Eight is God's number of new beginning. And a lot we could say about that. But the number seven is the number of God's completion. Now, if you'll be here next Sunday morning and the next Sunday morning, and especially on camp meeting Sunday on the 24th, I'm going to go into specific detail and show you how that right here, Jesus Christ said, the way you're going to know when He's coming back. And I'm going to bear this out, all of this here with Scripture, and show you how it all points to this time right here. Headed for the seventh day, the millennium, or the seventh of the 1,000 years of rest or peace on this earth. So, we're in for some exciting time. I hope that you'll be here every single Sunday morning. Don't miss it. Now let's look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As I hurry, try to bring you this message on the rapture. And look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. See that? It's not God's will for you to be ignorant. Some people say, well, I'm just stupid. I don't know nothing about the Bible. And somehow they like to brag about that. Listen, if you're saying I'm just stupid, you're saying I'm out of God's will. Amen? God said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, if you've just got saved, you've got an excuse. But for you that's been in church all your life, there's no reason for you to be ignorant. Somebody said, well, I just keep getting ignoranter and ignoranter. Well, like that makes them spiritual. No, no, no. That don't make you spiritual. One fellow said, if ignorance is bliss, I'm a blizzard. And that's the way a lot of folks think. They think, well, I'm stupid, so God's going to bless me. God said, I would not that ye should be ignorant. He don't want you to be ignorant. Verse number 13, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, people who have died in the Lord, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, their bodies, their sleep in the grave, will God bring with him their souls. Listen now. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that means get ahead of or go front, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, rest of us, and remain shall be caught up. That's what the word rapture means. That's what the word means. Snatched. Caught up. I'll say more about that in a minute. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture. Let me say it by introduction this morning. The greatest miracle since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The next hour on God's clock. The next check on God's checklist. Well, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Don't worry about the word not being in there. It means caught up. It means a sudden, powerful, irresistible force. It means to be transported swiftly from one place to another. It means now you see me like that. Now you don't. That's how fast the rapture is going to take place. Now, to understand the scripture this morning, you've got to understand that the second coming of Jesus Christ is in two parts in the scripture. The first part of the second coming is called the rapture. The second part of the second coming is called the revelation. Now you need to understand that. In the rapture, he comes for his saints. In the revelation, he comes with his saints to the earth. In the rapture, he comes for his saints in the air. We're caught up to meet him. He don't come down on earth. At the revelation, he comes down to the earth with him, bringing his saints with him. As the book of Jude plainly tells us. And that's what the Bible talks about in Zechariah 14:5, when he said, the Lord shall come and all his saints with him. That's what 1 Thessalonians 3:13 means, and Jude verse 14 means, and John 14:3. The Bible said in one place, he'll come as a thief in the night. And then the Bible said he'll come in another place where every eye shall see him. So that's the first part and the second part of the second coming. Now, you got to understand that. The types in the Bible illustrate this. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And the Bible said Enoch walked with God, the seventh from Adam. And the Bible said that Enoch was translated. He just vanished into thin air. And the next thing you know, he was with God in heaven. I'm telling you, brother, Enoch just walking around with God one day, and finally God said, Enoch, you want to go home with me? And Enoch said, it sounds good to me. And the Lord said, and the Bible said he was not found. In other words, they went looking for him, and they couldn't find him. He's a picture of the rapture of the church. Enoch went out before the flood, a picture of the great tribulation. That happened right in here. Enoch was raptured out. You see, Enoch had a son there. And he his name was Methuselah. Meth means death. And Methuselah, he was the longest living man, 969 years. And you know what his name means? The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. And God was showing the world that when that man died, his wrath would be poured on this planet in the time of the great flood. He said, so when you see Methuselah, you know what you done? You start up and say, how you doing? When he's dead, it's over with. And that was his name, Methuselah. And brother, that man's name meant when he's gone, it's over. And God let that man live then the time of the flood. That's Bible types. Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament in 152 particulars. Joseph, I remind you, married a Gentile bride during the time he was rejected by his brethren, which Jesus Christ is right now. And Joseph was there before the famine of 7 years, a picture of the great tribulation. I'm telling you, the Bible types show us there's going to be a rapture of the church. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of it this morning. Hallelujah. Moses married a Gentile bride after his rejection by his brethren, but before the plagues came on Egypt, they're making another picture of the rapture of the church. And a lot of people, you know, when people hear me preach on prophecy, a lot of people said, oh, you know them old preachers, they're just doom and gloom. It's just gloom and a doomsday prophet. Let me tell you something, brother. This is not a message of doom. This is not a message of gloom. We're not doomsdayers. We're not gloom preachers. This is the blessed hope of the child of God. This is what we've got to look forward to. Our future is brighter than the United Nations. Our future is brighter than the CNN crowd. You know why? We're for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Woo! In the rapture. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's analyze it just for a few minutes this morning. Number one, I'm going to talk about the order of events. This is the order of events. Basically, two things happen at the rapture. There's the translation of the living saints, and then there's the resurrection of the dead saints. Now, those two things are basically what takes place at the rapture. Notice, first of all, the Bible said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I've always loved that scripture. I can imagine Jesus Christ in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. God looks over at His Son and He said, all right, Son, go bring my children home. And the Lord says, okay. And the Lord steps out there on the cloud like this. And He's going to come down and He's going to holler something in the clouds and all of us are going to hear His voice. The old song said, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Listen, all these years I've been preaching. All these years I've been telling people He's a coming. I'll be driving that 4Runner down Interstate 40. I've got to drive all the way almost to Memphis this week, Tuesday, to preach up there this week, almost in Illinois, Paducah, Kentucky. I'll be going out that interstate highway, and all of a sudden, brother, I'll hear a great shout from heaven, and you know what it'll say? You know what it'll say? It'll say, Danny Castle, come up hither. And you'll hear your name. And you'll hear your name. And you'll hear your name. It's the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's the word of a command, like a general gives to his troops. It's the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead, their bodies are going to come up out of them grave. Somebody said they had a rock concert and some old hippie blew a trumpet so loud that it busted some people's eardrums. Did you hear about that? I thought, Lord in mercy, that ain't nothing. If a hippie can blow a trumpet, it'll bust people's eardrums. Jesus has got one that'll wake up dead people. Woo! Amen! Hallelujah! The trump of God. And the Bible said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is their bodies, not their soul. That's why the Bible said, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now imagine, when your grandma died, my grandma died, Grandma Bean, they laid her body to rest over yonder, I think over in Spruce Pine somewhere in the graveyard this morning, and grandma's soul went to be with Jesus. You see, that absent from the body, present with the Lord. We took her body like we did our brother Carmi here the other day. We took their bodies, so did your mother, so did your dad who was saved. When they died, they took their body out there and planted them in the graveyard. And they took their, had their funeral service, they put them in the grave out yonder. Their soul automatically went home to be with the Lord. Now when the Lord comes back, He's going to bring them souls with Him, and He's going to shout, and their body is going to wake up and come up out of that grave. The Bible illustration, help yourself, brother. We ought to shout about the Lord coming back. Woo! Hallelujah! It's something to shout about. And if you're so you can't shout this morning, I got recommendation for you. Get down here to altar and get it fixed up so you can shout. Because He's coming. He's coming. Just like He said He was. Amen. The dead's going to rise first. Will the graves open? The only scripture we have on that is Matthew 27. And yes, they did. Yes, they did. In Matthew 27, the graves did open. In the Bible, when the Lord spoke, and when the Bible said, when the Lord spoke from heaven, those people that were there that He's talking to understood it, but everybody else said it thundered. You know what that means? When the Lord shouts your name, you'll hear your name. But the world will hear some kind of big old... You know, like that big old boom loud noise. Like that won't know what it is in the middle of the night or wherever they happen to be. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm telling you, grandma's coming up. Did you say that loved ones you have lost are dead beneath the sod? They only sleep. They are not dead. They're waiting for the trump of God. They wait till the risen Redeemer in glory shall come to the skies. At the sounding of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. So when the blues are, the buds are bursting and the blossom with the spring, we remember that in the morning we shall rise to meet our King. He hadn't forgot about us. His promises are still true. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still coming back, and we're going to see Him face to face when He comes. Then it said, "Are we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him, snatched." Somebody said, if God's no respecter of persons, why does the dead in Christ rise first? Well, you see, you understand, that's, somebody said, well, that's a Methodist. No. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about dead bodies laying in the grave. Now, you know why they're going to rise first? Because we got a 6-foot head start on them. That's the only thing I can figure out. And we're ahead of they are, so they rise first. But they're not going to go see the Lord before we are. We'll be caught up together. Right? We'll all see Him at the same time, and we're going to see the Lord there. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus told Mary and Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And they that liveth, that's us, and believeth in Me, shall never die. Amen. Amen. That's the Bible. Some of you need to let the scales fall off of your eyes. Some of you have been put to sleep all week by TV and by the junk of this world. Amen. Arise, shake yourself, realize the time we're living in. We are at the jumping off place. I'm not setting dates. I don't know what day Jesus is coming or hour. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. It's got to be soon. He's coming back in the rapture. Now, a second thing I want to say this morning, the rapture will be a surprise. The rapture will be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise to most of this world. You know what he said in Revelation 16, 15? I come as a thief. Now, why did the Lord choose that analogy? Why did Jesus choose to say, I come as a thief? He could have said a lot of things, but he said, I come as a thief. Now, I got to thinking about that. And I thought, he's going to come as a thief. He's going to come as a thief. He's going to come as a thief. Then I began to think about it. And I wrote down some things I read somewhere. And I began to put my own thoughts with it. And there's five things that a thief does when he comes as a thief in the night. Now, night times when everybody's asleep, night times when it's dark, that's a picture of this world here this morning. This world is in darkness like it's never seen before. The devil's in charge of this world like I've never seen it in my lifetime, like it's never been. You be here next Sunday and the next Sunday, I'm going to tell you some things that's going on right here that never happened here, never happened here, never happened here, never happened here, never happened here. It's plain as a nose on her face that we've got to be near the coming of the Lord. So, the rapture will be a surprise. I want to say five things about a thief and I'll move on. Number one, a thief does not announce his coming. A thief don't announce his coming. He's a surprise. In other words, thieves don't call you up on Saturday evening and say, yes, this Mr. Jones? Uh-huh. Yeah, you live down here? Okay. Well, I just want you to know I'm a thief and I'm going to be over in the morning about 2 o'clock and break in your house and rip you off. A thief don't do that. A thief does not announce his coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's a surprise. And that's why Jesus said, look, it could happen in a moment. You don't know. The Lord's not going to say, all right, now everybody be ready. Tomorrow I'm coming. It could happen any moment. The return of the Lord is imminent. That means it could happen any second, any moment. It could happen before I get through preaching. I mean, the Lord might be saying, hurry up, Danny. I'd like to hear the rest of this, but I'm ready to come. Oh, I'll say, come on, I can finish this up there. Amen. I can tell them, well, I can really finish it up there, man. Where I get my new voice, my new vocal cords, and my new body, I'll go shooting down the streets of gold, 190 miles an hour, buddy. Or preaching like crazy. I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you. He's a coming back, and mother, he is coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, a thief comes for a certain purpose. A thief comes for a purpose. When a thief breaks in your house, he's after something. He don't come to shoot the bull and just look around, see you got pretty curtains, and oh, isn't that a nice painting on the wall? He comes after something. When Jesus comes in the rapture, it's not like the revelation. He's coming for a purpose. He's coming to snatch his children out of this world and home to be with him. Number three, a thief does not take everything in the house, just the jewel, the gold, and the precious thing. See, when a thief comes in your house at night and he's prowling around, he don't go in there and empty up the trash bags and tie it up and all that and get the trash and he don't take off the banana peelings off the and gravy and everything and put it in. He don't come after that. He comes only after the jewels, only after the gold. He comes. He don't take everything in the house. He just comes after your diamond ring and your sterling silver and your china. That's where the Lord's coming. When the Lord's here, ain't coming after every Tom, Dick, and Harry that claims to be a Christian. He's not coming after old Joe. That's because he sat on the church pew for 30 years. Brother, he's coming after his jewels. He's coming after them that's been born again. Them that know him. Buddy, I know. I don't know about you this morning, but I know that 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 I've been born again. I belong to him. And if he come right now, I'm just as sure to go with it as I am standing here. Thank God! I wish he'd come on! Amen. Number four, a thief does not come to stay. As soon as he gets what he comes after, he leaves. That's why you can't confuse the rapture with the revelation. When he comes to revelation, he comes to stay for 1,000 years. That ain't like a thief tonight. A thief comes and gets what he's after and goes out with it for the world, for the people ever even know he's been there. While they're still asleep, he's done come and gone before they knew what happened. That's the way the rapture is. Before this world ever realizes what's happened, Jesus has done come and got us and gone and left this world with it. Listen, I ain't got time to get into it long this morning. We might be just a little bit longer than normal, but if you get through before I do, you go ahead and leave. And if you have hard feelings toward me, I can forgive you. I ain't like some of you. And I want to tell you what this morning, brother, you don't listen. Let the Lord work in you this morning and let it be real to you today. Amen. He does not come to stay. He comes and gets what he's after and leaves. And number five, a thief leaves much more than he takes. He just gets the jewels in a little bag and he's gone. There's going to be a lot more people left than there are going. What would happen this morning if all of a sudden the rapture come, and let's just say, I don't know how many people in here is not saved. Let's just say 90% of the people in here are saved. That might be a close estimate, might be less, might be more. I don't know. I can't judge it. But let's say 90% of the people in this room disappeared. Vanished. Gone. And there's about 20 or 30 of you in here. And you scream and pull your hair out. And begin to cry out, oh God, oh God. And all just our clothes laying around in here. And people go out on the road and see all them cars sitting in a parking lot. And say, them crazy people. They finally went off the deep end. We didn't go off no deep end. We went up that way. Amen. The rapture will be a surprise. Let me say thirdly this morning, the rapture will be sudden. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not blinking. Somebody said it's just like blinking your eye. Well, I know some people that blink a long time. You see, the average person, they say the average person blinks 25 times a minute. So that's too much. I mean, normal. You know, average person. Some people blink a lot more. You some people, they just... You know, but the average person blinks 25 times a minute. That's way too slow. Let me illustrate what that means. That means if you blink 25 times a minute and you drive 55 miles per hour on a 10-hour trip, you drive 83 miles with your eyes shut. Lord have mercy, it ain't no wonder there's so many people getting killed. 83 miles with your eyes closed on a 10-hour trip, just normal blinking. I have went 83 straight with mine, I believe. And only the Lord got me through that stretch of the interstate. But that's way, way, way too slow, people. Listen, we're talking about a twinkling. A lot quicker than that. Speed of light. Somebody said, well, I'm going to wait till I see the Lord coming, then I'm going to get down and ask, oh, son, you ain't going to have time to bat your eye. But he's done come, smack, got us out of here before you even realize what's happened. Before you even realize, no time for anything. No time for normal activity. They said it like it would be at the speed of light. Let me illustrate the speed of light. Somebody tell me how fast light goes. 186,000 miles per second. New man or student right there. 186,000 miles per second. Now, buddy, I don't know how fast Earnhardt can drive, but 183,000 miles a second is swift. That ain't messing around, buddy. All right, let me show you. All right, lights, you ready? Start right here. Get on your mark, get set, go. Stop, went 186,000 miles. That's how fast we'll go home to be with the Lord. That's moving, brother. They said like this. They said, if you could take a gun like a rifle and hold it chest high like this and fire that rifle at the speed of light, the bullet would come out 186,000 miles a second and it would travel around the surface of the earth with no mountains or nothing, stay that high, go all the way around the circumference of the planet, come back around right here. If I could stand right here and fire a gun at the bullet, the speed of light, it would go all the way around the world, come back right here and go through my body 7 times before I could fall over. That's getting with it. I'm telling you, buddy, like, bam, brrr, that am moving. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when the Lord comes, that's what some old preacher said. He said, old Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Woo! Amen. Just like that in the moment. It can happen any moment. I tell you, brother, it's going to be a normal day in the big cities. There'll be a businessman on the street, a secretary behind the desk doing her work, people out on the busy streets, horn blowing, sirens going, interstates will be full, boats headed for the lake, campers headed for the mountains, and the shopping malls will be filled, the plants and factories will be a running strong, and brother, the bars will be a going, the drinks will be passing out, TVs. Suddenly, all of a sudden, like the sound of a mighty thunder, people will rush to the windows. They'll hear a sonic boom, and most of them will think it's just an alarming noise. But to the other people that were saved, it's the voice of the Lord. The rapture will be sudden. Fourthly, the rapture will be selective. Selective. When they come back and find out many people are missing, faithful employees will be gone. Old Plain Jane, who went to work in that factory every day, sometimes she would carry her Bible and lay it on it. All the other ladies made fun of her. She tried to dress decent and keep herself covered and modest. And they laughed at her because of the way she dressed. They made fun of her because she wouldn't go to clubs with them on the weekend. They laughed at her and said, "You're old fashioned. You're old fashioned." And they're all going to run to the window and say, "Why in the world was that noise?" And they come back and Jane is gone. Now, where did she go? Oh, she's probably in the bathroom praying for all of us. Where'd Jane go? They can't find her nowhere. Amen. It'll be selective. Companions gone. Cars, airplanes will crash. Somebody said it's like this. Perhaps today will be the last, and time shall be forever past. Our light affliction will be o'er, then glory, glory, evermore. These days of toil and pain will cease, and faithful workers rest in peace. Perhaps today mine eyes shall see the Lamb of God. For me. Oh, nothing else will matter then if unto Him I've faithful been. Live for that day, O soul of mine, and eternal joy shall be thine. He's coming. Little babies will be gone. A man's wife will be gone. A woman's husband will be gone. In other parts of the world, it will be night time. Two will be in a bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Somebody, the man will hear a big noise, think it's just a thunderstorm outside, turn over and go back to sleep. And the next morning the alarm clock goes off. He looks and his wife is missing. He goes and looks and all the doors are locked from the inside. And then he runs in the baby's room and the baby's gone. I tell you, brother, if the Bible said that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes. Two shall be grinding at the mill. The Bible said one shall be taken and the other shall be left. If Jesus come right now, some of you would be taken and others of you would be left. I'd get saved this morning. I'd get saved today right here in this service. Time is running out on you. Amen. The next day the papers will be filled with explanations. Probably the right one will be suggested, but it'll soon be junked. You know why? Two reasons. People will probably say it had something to do with God and God took them out of the world, but they won't believe it for two reasons. Number one, God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And number two, there'll still be so many church members and preachers here that people will say it couldn't have been the rapture. But it was. It was. Amen. That gives some of you something to think about. For a while, the excitement will be great. But people's going to have to settle back down, eating and drinking, making a living. We'll become hardened and more wicked to accept the Antichrist that's coming right after the rapture. The salt of the earth is gone. The Spirit of God is gone. And the wrath of God, that's why the Bible said right here during this time, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Buddy, you talk about a nightmare. And I'm going to be showing you. We're going into big detail in a couple of weeks, showing you what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. A time when the water turns to blood. Right here in Marion. A time when there's sores on people so bad that all they can do is raise their fist up and cuss God. It's going to happen right here in McDowell County. A time when there's sores on your body that you can't get rid of.
pours out His wrath on this old world that so long disregarded His day, blasphemed His name, cussed Him as people, and didn't obey His word.
One day, in closing this morning, the Lord's going to shout, up from the quiet valleys, up from the sunny hillsides, up from the village burying ground, up from the depths of the sea, up from the distant battlefields where our boys of Christians gave their life in the service, up from the jungles of India, up from the swamps of Africa, the islands of the sea, a radiant host of bodies shall come out of this earth and spring up and go meet the Lord, walking down a busy highway, caught up to meet the Lord, sitting there in a prayer meeting, in a secret time of prayer. Oh, God bless me today. Bang! There He is. Amen. Think about working on a machine at your job. Caught up just that quick. Think about sitting up at night worrying about how you're going to pay your bill. Caught up just like that. Doubting, what if you're doubting your salvation? Well, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. Oh, God, I don't know if I'm saved. Maybe I am. Maybe I ain't. Bang! I reckon I am. I see the Lord just like that. Lord have mercy! Hey, then don't give up. Some of you about to quit. Some of you about to give up. The devil's hit you real hard. You're about ready to just quit church. We've already had some quit. We've already had some to say, it ain't worth it. I ain't willing to stand the persecution. I'm not willing to take the gossip. Don't give up. It's too close to the end. The Lord's coming back. The time's running out. Don't give up now. I want to see what happens, don't you? Woo! I want to see what happens. Amen. We shall not all sleep. What a word of bliss. Some living today may taste even this. The rapture, the glory, the sudden surprise. One moment immortal, the next in the skies. One moment oppressed by death, earth, and strife, the next in the brightness and fullness of life. For change we shall be in the King, His beauty we shall see. I like them little things people used to put on their glove compartment. You ever seen one of them? A little sticker you put on your glove compartment. It says, in case of rapture, driver will disappear. Man, you can pick up a hitchhiker. You're saying, what's that, man? Cool sticker, man. Well, that means, are you a Christian? No, man. Well, that means if the Lord comes back, I disappear. Okay, right? So you grab the wheel. Huh? He said, you grab the wheel if I disappear, okay? Matter of fact, you can have his car. I seen somebody the other day who went and bought him a brand new vehicle. Oh, that's what it was. I said, Tim over there, I went and bought him a brand new truck. And I said, glory to God, if I knew the Lord is coming back, I mean, if we just knew, I'm glad we don't know. But if we knew, oh boy. So we'd go to the bank and borrow all the money we could and everybody buy it. Help missionaries put the gospel. I'd get out there on the street and say, ah, He's coming! He's coming! He's coming! But we don't know. But I'll tell you what, one of these days He is. One of these days He is. That's the blessed hope for a child of God, people. We got something to look forward to. Don't let the battles and the long toil of the trip knock the joy out of your soul. It could happen any moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Our prayer ought to be this morning. Even so, come quickly. One of them girls said, well, I don't want the Lord to come back till I get married. Hard to believe anybody would be that dumb, ain't it? That is hard for me to believe. They're retarded. Listen, kids. You think God in heaven ain't got something better than being married? Tell them, married people. Tell these nuts. I mean, I love being married, and I believe it's God's will for most people and all that, but Lord have mercy, are you crazy? You know God's got something better than being married. For heaven's sake, we're not just going to float on a cloud. People think when we get to heaven, we're going to have a little puff, like a marshmallow. And I'm going to be sitting on one, you're going to be sitting on one, and we play a harp and just ring, ring. No, man. No.
It's like you're on drugs, you know. I pass your cloud, you pass mine, and I just go. That ain't the way it's going to be. For heaven's sake, man, we're going to shout the victory. We're going to eat. We're going to eat. You don't have to worry about cholesterol, your blood pressure, or your heart rate, or nothing. We're going to shout it out, people. That's what we're looking for. It's a blessed hope. The coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? This whole world rocking and real. That's why it's so hard to live right now. That's why it's so hard to pray and read your Bible. Harder to stick in church than it ever has been. More temptation than there's ever been. Because the devil knows his time's running out. And Jesus is coming soon. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. We're not going to take long, but we are going to take just a minute. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm asking you the most important question you've ever been asked. And that question is, if you died right now, if you died right now, do you know for an absolute fact that you'd go to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm not saved. Did you know the rapture could come the next hour? I mean, it might not. Well, nobody knows when, but it might. The Lord could come next 5 minutes, next 2 hours, next day, next year, next month. You don't know. We don't know. But we know one thing. He is coming. And we do know another thing. He gave us some signs to look for. And it's close. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, why don't you walk down here, as some have already done, and get down on your knees and ask the Lord to save you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anywhere in the building this morning, is there one? I prayed last night and this morning. I said, God, please let somebody get saved. We've already had one or several, or maybe up yonder, I don't know. But I prayed for you to get saved before I even knew you was going to be here. Would you ask the Lord to touch you this morning? Anybody? Say, preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? Let us pray for you this morning. Let us pray for you. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. There's a couple of hands here this morning. Jesus loves you this morning. And Jesus died for you, ma'am. And Jesus died for you, sir. The best thing you could do, folks, please be patient. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to pray. Jesus wants to help you this morning. He could come at any moment. Please don't. Please don't waste this opportunity. Come to Jesus Christ. Why you got to change? If you lifted your hand, we're going to pray. I want everybody to pray for these that lifted their hand. And when we sing, I want you to just get out of your seat. Walk down here and get down on your knees before God and ask the Lord to save you. Would you do it? Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts now. Touch these two or three that raised their hand. Help them to walk out of that seat, down here to this altar, get down on their knees, and settle this issue between you and them. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray, God, that they'd do it this morning. Help that Christian who may be walking afar off or a guilty distance to get their heart right with you. And whatever, however, in what way ever you do for us, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.